Okay, so we're here to talk about the World Day of Prayer. That happens annually on the first Friday in March. This year it's going to be on the 6th of March. And we're going to find out more about that now. I'm joined by Alison Sage. Hello, Alison. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, hello, John. It's good to be here.
I gather each year a different country sort of takes the lead, if you like, on the World Day of Prayer.
That's right. This year it's the women of Zimbabwe. But for example, in 2022, it will be by England, Northern Ireland, okay, and Wales.
Okay, that's one to look forward to. So a couple of years' time, we'll be hosting it. But Zimbabwe this year, and I know if we look at the news bulletins on the TV and read the newspapers, there's lots of issues in Zimbabwe to pray about.
Yeah, the women are having a really difficult time. You know, a lot of the time there's no electricity, and you know, there's a lot of inflation. So just to get simple things like bread, just things like petrol and things like that is really difficult.
Just always basics, really, that we all just take for granted.
That's
then.
Right. Yeah, but you know, they have had a difficult, and you know, sort of over the last 40 odd years, you know, things haven't gone well for them as a country. So they are facing a lot of difficulties.
Okay, so they're going to be leading this year's World Day of Prayer. So does that mean that the services around the world will be sort of produced and sort of led by people from Zimbabwe?
Yes, I've actually got the booklet here. Yes, they take about actually 3 years to put it all together, but the National Committee in Zimbabwe would have got together and prepared this World Day of Prayer. So the actual words and prayers in this are actually written by the women of Zimbabwe.
Okay, so I guess sort of having that written service paper, I guess, for the service is really, you know, just working on the theme that everybody, you know, we can unite with the people of Zimbabwe, and we can all sort of come together and share some empathy with them.
That's right. In actual fact, there is actually in the service a point when there's a letter from the women of Zimbabwe in which, you know, how they are and how they feel, they are able to actually put into words to share, so that we can actually have an understanding of what it's like for them. Because when you do have that, it just makes that sense of supporting and prayer just seem to be so much more effective.
So a little sense of unity sort of throughout the theme this year.
That's right. And when you consider that this service will be held all over the world.
Yeah. 170 countries or something, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. And it begins in Samoa, and the prayer travels out through the whole world, through Asia, Africa, the Middle East, Europe and the Americas, before finishing in American Samoa more than 36 hours later.
Wow. That is really something, that the whole world is sort of thinking about the same topic and really sort of showcasing the power of prayer and really sort of bringing people together. You know, we're all humans, regardless of our race, regardless of our culture, tradition. And I guess there's an educational side to this as well, just learning about other cultures through prayer.
You know, we do have more information about Zimbabwe. Actually, when you look in the actual leaflets for the service, it gives a whole lot of detail on Zimbabwe. So there's also a chance for people to learn a little bit more, you know, if they read that as well. For example, I've got the picture of the flag here, the country, talks about the geography, history, and the background to how the World Day of Prayer came to Zimbabwe.
Okay.
And, you know, some familiar through other topics as well.
So that's really, really fascinating and really important, I think, to have that understanding and to look sort of beyond our own kind of back garden, if you like, and know that, you know, there are people to be in our prayers sort of round the world.
That's right, definitely.
Started out in America in the 1880s, came to the UK around 1930. And how do they decide what country is going to host each year?
Well, every 4 or 5 years, representatives of the national regional committees gather into different areas of the world to make up the international committee. And it's at that point they select the themes and the countries that will take the services. So, like, obviously, like, each country will have a national committee. So there's obviously one for, like, UK and then and the other different countries throughout the world. And they, you know, and like I say, they meet about every 4 or 5 years. They obviously talk about other things as well and then share experiences and look at how services have gone and what went well, you know, and what things could be improved. But that's generally how it works.
Just sort of going on to prayer, you know, the world has changed a lot. Maybe people don't go to church as much as they would have done sort of back in the day. So still a place for prayer. People still, you know, how does that sort of fit into modern society?
Yeah, it definitely is a place for prayer. I mean, people, I think, sometimes do something that's similar to prayer, may not necessarily call it prayer, you know, just having those quiet times where they're able to connect, hear that still voice in, you know, inside them, or, you know, actually when they're thinking about loved ones, you know, and it's that time you do have those still times. I mean, when I get those sort of messages, I think of it's coming from God.
Yeah.
But other people may find, you know, even if they don't believe in God, having that quiet time to be beneficial, to clear their thoughts and get a pointer on how to go in life.
So almost like mindfulness and meditation, that sort of thing, perhaps.
That's right. You know, those sort of things can be very helpful. And it's a sort of known when people are feeling particularly anxious, you know, doing something like mindfulness where you just really quiet your mind and you just focus on your breath and have those times. Though obviously as a Christian, you take a little bit further in that we then actually communicate with God and, you know, put those things on our hearts and those things that we're concerned about. But all those sort of things, I think, can make such a difference in this very hectic world where everybody's rushing around all the time.
Exactly. It's just trying to fit everything in. But, you know, it's always time to have that quiet moment, whether you believe in God or not, you know, just to kind of click your thoughts and I suppose sort of give thanks for the fact that we do live in such an affluent part of the world.
That's right. And actually, in fact, you mentioned about giving thanks, John. It's actually known that, you know, if people do have a time during the day when they say thank you for things, that it can actually make them feel a lot better. You know, just being grateful for things rather than seeing the bad and everything, looking for the good and those things to be grateful for. It can start you on a lift if you then think of those things to say thank you.
Exactly. Just you know, look at what's positive in life, because it's all too easy to sort of dwell on the negative stuff. But there's, for every negative, there's always, you know, two or three positives. So let's look at it that way.
That's right. Well, every cloud's got a silver lining.
Exactly, yes. So in terms of the World Day of Prayer on the 6th of March, what's going to be happening locally here in Woking?
Well, there are going to be two services. There will be one on the Friday morning on the 6th at 10 a.m. And that's going to be at St John's Church, which is Church Road, St John's, Woking. I mentioned the postcode because I know a lot of people use that now.
Yeah.
So it's GU217QN. And then in the evening, there's another service at St Peter's Church, and that's at 7:30. So, and that address is St Peter's Church, Church Street, Old Woking, GU22 9JE. And everybody's welcome to attend. And, you know, if you've never been to a church before, you don't have to be a churchgoer. Just pleased to see anybody who likes to come.
Yeah, so it may be a good opportunity for somebody that perhaps is sort of toying with the idea of, you know, shall I go to church? Just to go, maybe go to one of these services and almost get a sort of taste of what it's like to be in a church.
Yeah, they could well do. Yeah. And then if they get chatting to some people, they may find that, you know, that's somewhere they feel comfortable with and somewhere they'd like to go. Or it may be somebody who's there from a different church even. But, you know, to just get a feel of what it's like. And it may be, you know, completely different to what they imagined. But, it, you know, it's just a good opportunity to be able to go into the different churches.
Definitely, yes. I mean, you know, we sort of maybe walk or drive past these churches around Woking, but, you know, maybe not get a chance to go in. So perfect opportunity to do that, and also to think of the people of Zimbabwe and unite with them through the power of prayer. So the World Day of Prayer, formerly known as the Women's World Day of Prayer, but that changed recently to the World Day of Prayer.
That's right, just to sort of go along with a lot of things, to be more PC, as they say.
Okay.
But the idea to, you know, to be fully inclusive, really.
Yeah.
But obviously it still is prepared by women. So obviously the background is very much the Women's World Day of Prayer.
Okay. So why is it kind of aimed around women, do you think?
I think really sort of going back historically, women felt they really needed the support of other women. There are a lot of hardships, you know, particularly back in say like the 19th century and so forth. And there was a real need, a lot of poverty. And women would often be on their own when the husbands quite often need to go and travel far.
Yeah.
So you know, having groups of women coming together to prayerfully support each other, I feel that's how it's happened. And in some ways, that's often the case these days, that women are the ones who do tend to be the homemakers, you know, doing the childcare and that sort of thing. And to have that sort of mutual support for each other is something that can be very empowering and helpful for women.
Okay. But obviously the service is now open to everybody on the 6th of March.
That's right, yeah, yeah.